front, but no, it's too full. I'll reserve it for you next week. Yeah, I know. That front is difficult. You went to the auditorium? Yes, maybe. Gabby, did you get? Great, thank you. Okay. Okay, there should be spare at the end because people here didn't get. There are enough. But who didn't get? This way. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is, would you believe, it's almost 30 days since Emily's mother passed away. I think the Shloshim is on Wednesday, I think. So we are dedicating the shiur in name of Emily's mother, Tzipora Bat Ben Sion, and it should be the Nishmatah, and for all the family. I want to, we're reaching parashiyot here, which are challenging, to say the least. We, in Trumah Tetzaveh, we went through all of the details of the Mishkan, and then in Kitisah, we made a collection for the Mishkan. Then we had the fall of Chet HaEgel last week. And Rabbi Yaakov Pikudeh, whoever worked hard with Rashi over the last few weeks, is going to find very few Rashis to do this week, because we did all the work a few weeks ago. And it looks like an absolute repetition. I did mention a few weeks ago also that there are two major shitot with regards to the order of the parashiyot. There is the shita of Rashi, who says that essentially the Chet HaEgel happened before everything. And after that, there was Kitisa Truma Tetzaveh, Kurama, the second part of Kitisa, or it looks like the second part, but Chet HaEgel happened before Truma Tetzaveh and Yaakov Pikudeh. And essentially, Truma Tetzaveh Yaakov Pikudeh is a tekuvah, it's a response to Chet HaEgel. But I'm going to follow the Ramban. And the Ramban is telling us that essentially everything went in order. And Moshe Rabbeinu received the instruction of the Mishkan in Truma Tetzaveh. Then there was Chet HaEgel in the middle of collecting the money. And then we have Yaakov Pikudeh, Koloma, and I'll finish up with this. We have a Tzivui, a commandment, and a Bitsua, and then the enactment of that commandment. There is something specific, though, that I want to look at. Have a look at the Pesukim here. You have Parashat Kitisa and Parashat Vayakel. Now, if you have a look at Parashat Kitisa, it starts off, V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor re'eh karati v'shem v'salel ben Uri ben Chur l'mateh Yehuda v'amale oto ruach Elohim b'chofa v'tvuna v'adat v'chol melacha. And we have an introduction to the Mishkan, Pasukhet, the Shulchan, the Kelav, the Menorah. And right at the end here, Sukkim that you know very well, the Shamru Veneset, Shabbat, La Sotet, Shabbat, the Dorotam Brit Olam. Shabbat. Shabbat is juxtaposed to the Mishkan. But in the case of Kitisa, Shabbat comes after the Mishkan. Have a look at our parasha, parallel to the left. ויקר משה כל אדם בני ישראל ויאמר עליהם אלה דברים אשר ציווה השם לעשות אותם ששת ימים תעשה מלאכה. So in Pasha Vayaker, it's the other way around. Shabbat comes first. Now, almost all of our commentators saw this as being of enormous consequence. Again, in Pasha Kitisa, the Mishkan comes before Shabbat. In Pasha Vayaker, Shabbat comes before the Mishkan. And what is there to be done with these facts? And what has Shabbat got to do with the Mishkan? Now, you all know, those of you in Hilchot Shabbat, at Bas Hilchot Shabbat will know, that all of the Malachot of Shabbat are learned from the Mishkan, right? The 39 Malachot of Shabbat are learned from the Avodat HaMishkan, the Malachot of the Mishkan. Abarbanel, look at Abarbanel, bottom of the page. You have to follow the sources here. You have to follow the sources. Im Hayashe Moshe Hikil et Kol Yisrael Tzavotam Melechet HaMishkan, Nuchomo Shema Eli Dvarim Asher Sivah Hashem La'asot Tzavotam, Lamed Chil b'mitzvot Shabbat. In Parshat Vayakas, Moshe got everyone together to talk to them about the Mishkan. So why does he start talking about Shabbat? Sheish yamim ta'aseh melacha, v'kvar ba mitzvah hazot b'ma. We've already heard about Shabbat back with Man and Sinai in the Aseret HaDibrot, and Amar se'a Mishkan. V'nei Kitisa nizkara acharei Mishkan. The second question of Barbanel asks is, in Kitisa, it's mentioned after the Mishkan. What is the pesha of the difference in orders? So look at the Abarbanel's answer. V'edaber Hashem el Moshe, you'll look up the prakim, you see this, the first perek here is Abarbanel's comments here on Kitisa. V'edaber Hashem el Moshe v'gomei achet shabtotai tishmoru ad v'yitel el Moshe kechaloto lefi shesibah yibarach al asiyat ha-mishkan v'kelav she'amorea v'ekot Hashem rach v'shahot shkinato b'ruma. God commanded us about the Mishkan, and the Mishkan needs a lot of our attention because it's not about Korbanot. As you know, if you know your halacha, you'll know that we don't bring Korbanot into the Mikdash. It's on the outside of the Mikdash Korbanot. The essence of the Mishkan is Tefillah. That's Melachim Aleph Perichet, Lishma El Arina Ve'el Tefillah. The essence of Mikdash Mishkan is Tefillah. The animals are on the outside of the Mishkan. And the whole point of Mishkan is a Shekhinah inside of Am Yisrael. Haya efshar sheyachshov adam sheapoal hahu hu yoter nechpa mikol hapulot ha-toriyot. V'kol shekhen mi'ashvita v'shabbat. You might have thought that building such a place, building a Mishkan, is much more important than Shabbat. By building a place that God will, whatever that means, will dwell, is more important than Shabbat. Lefi sheish leimut, over the place, lefi sheish leimut. Because, and I'll come back to this right at the end, the essence of everything is its action. Action is the essence of everything. And doing things is much more important than being passive. And certainly building a Mishkan. Maybe Am Yisrael would think, but if the point of Melechet HaMishkan is bringing Shekhinah into the world, that should push Shabbat aside. Mitzurafin ayot ha-masi yotem ha-id al-emunah mi-mashid alav ha-bitul va-shvita, because doing something is much more reflective of belief than refraining from doing something. Not doing something, lishpot, to stop. Shvita, to be passive, is much less important than being active and doing something. Because when I do something, I create a reality. Shvita is not doing something. And metziut is much more important. Creating a reality is much more important than doing nothing. So the building of a Mishkan is about God creating the world, and is about God being in the world. And I don't need Shabbos. If I'm building a Mishkan, I don't need Shabbos. So Hashem said to Moshe, no, you've got to keep Shabbat. And the Abarbanel here isn't mitchaches to the different orders. He's not relating to the different order. What he is relating to is the fact that Shabbat is doche Mishkan, and that's not so partial why Shabbat is doche Mishkan, that I'm not allowed to build a Mishkan on Shabbat, and I might have thought I was allowed to, because the whole purpose of the Mishkan is activity, and activity is much more important I'm being passive, but that's not the case. Have a look at Kli Yakar. Now, Kli Yakar is going to relate to the fact that there are different orders. One order in Ki Tisa, where Shabbat comes second, and in Vayakel, where Shabbat comes first. And see, Kli Yakar, I had a lot of love talk whether to put Kli Yakar in. Last minute yesterday, I put him in. I don't know, I didn't know what to put him on or to put in, but I shortened Rabbi Sacks a bit, so. Shisha yamim, sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha, a lot actually. Piresh Rashi, hikdim lahem azorat Shabbat le'sibur melechet ha'mishkan lomar she'eno dorche Shabbat. So Shabbat in Parshat Vayakel comes first to teach us that Shabbat is dorche Mishkan. Shabbat has preference over Mishkan. Or Machshim, he asked a very interesting question. You're all looking awake and with it, so you're gonna like this question from Kli Yakar. Yes, Rami, no. Okay, so. It's a different order. You notice this in Parshat Kedoshim, it says you feed your parents and keep Shabbat. But Rashi says over there, if your parents tell you to break Shabbos, you have to keep Shabbos. So there, the parents aren't Docha Shabbos. Here, Rashi says that Shabbat comes first because it's Docha Mishkan. There, Kibud Av Va'em comes before Shabbos, but it's not Docha Shabbos. So it says the Kli Yakar, your cloud doesn't work. If the first one is more important and the first one pushes aside the second, it's not true because by Ish, Imova, Abit Tirao, then Shabbatai Tishmoro, Shabbat comes second. If your parents tell you to break Shabbos, you can't break Shabbos, right? Because you're both commanded to keep Shabbos. So we have to honor our parents, Mitzad Sheni, but not if they tell us to break Shabbos. But that's the other way around. Or Pirei Rashi she'im yomalecha avicha chalel et haShabbat al tishmaylo. If your father tells you to break Shabbos, you don't listen to your father. V'sham lo yikdim haShabbat, but their Shabbat isn't written first. According to your rule, Shabbat should be written first. If Shabbat is written first, because it's doche, it pushes aside the other. V'afal pike Pirei shidoche kibud avein. V'chen tala Rashi adavah v'mashidim Shabbat l'melechet haMishkan. And here Rashi says, the Shabbat pushes aside Melechet HaMishkan because Shabbat is written first. I don't think it's such a hard kasha. Because over there, by Kibud Av Va'em and Shabbat, it's written in the plural Tishmoru that both you and your parents have to keep Shabbos. So no one can tell you not to keep Shabbos. Here, there isn't a specific direction of anyone. Ela, Shabbat comes before Mishkan because Shabbat is more important. But if that's the case, then why in Ki Tisa does Shabbat come second? It's good, Kasha. Yes, Odelia, it's good. Ali's good. Umashi Dimba Pasha Kisisa Mishkan Lashab. But if according to what I said, Shabbat is Docha Shabbat, Shabbat comes first, it's written first, and therefore it's Docha Mishkan. So why in Ki Tisa is the Mishkan before Shabbat? Now, what's the difference between Ki Tisa and Vayakel? What's the difference between, and Rabbi said he asked questions and you answered them. What's the difference between Ki Tisa and Shabbat? Let me tell you. Good! Chet HaEgel is the difference, right? Because in Ki Tisa, when we're presented with the reality, we haven't done Chet HaEgel yet. And Vayakel is after Chet HaEgel, according to the Ramban. So have a look. Have a look inside. Umashit din b'parsha Ki Tisa Mishkan l'Shabbat v'katav achet shabtotai tishmor lidrosh miyitu lashon. So why didn't it do that? Why didn't Shabbos come first in Ki Tisa? Why does Shabbat come second? I want to explain, why Moshe changes the Seder. And in Ki Tisa there's one Seder, and Vayakel is another Seder. Vayakel Shabbos comes first, Ki Tisa Shabbos comes second. Why? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva lo techilat al HaMishkan u'Moshe hikdim et haShabbat. Because God actually commanded Moshe first about the Mishkan, and Moshe spoke about Shabbat first. Why? Remember, the previous parshas is about the theory, and these are parshas of practice. Ki Shabbat Eimbo Ki Im Kavod Hashem Barach Lohorot Ki Hui Barach Hidei Sholamot. Shabbat is about God and the creation of the world. VaHaMishkan Morak Kulo Al Kavod Yisrael. And the Mishkan is the Kavod of Yisrael, right? The Mishkan is Mishkan of Am Yisrael. So what the Kli Yakar says, I'm going to have to be a bit shorter because announcements were longer today. So what he says, when God speaks to Moshe, God speaks about the Mishkan first because that's Kavod Yisrael. When Moshe speaks to the people, he talks about Shabbat first because Shabbat is Kavod Hashem. He wants to be Machabed Hashem. That's the Kli Yakar's offering. I'm very, very excited about Rabbi Heschel's comment. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to wait till I get there, but I'll try. I'm trying very hard to hit up egg, because what he says here is mind-blowing. That's why we did share in this room, so you could lean on the tables, as opposed to, you know, that, like, it's not so stable there in the auditorium. But let's go to Beis Halevi first. We've got a Beis Halevi. We should go to Beis Halevi. So the Kliyat Kai is a nice idea. He says when God speaks to Moshe, he talks about Kvod Yisrael first. The Mishkan, when Moshe speaks to the people, he talks about Kvod Hashem first, Shabbat. Nothing to do with Halacha. Beit HaLevi. We're about to end Beit HaLevi season. Right? Beit HaLevi season is Bereishit Shemot. There's no Beit HaLevi on Vayikra. It's such a shame. If there was, it would be wonderful. But I don't think, it's certainly not in the book. Ach, chapter Taiti Shemot, Hinei Kan, same kasha, right? That in Kitisa, Shabbat comes second, in Vayakel, Shabbat comes first. So Beis Halevi gives a mashal. So listen to the mashal. There is this rich man and he is marrying off his child. And he has to get clothes for his son for weekdays and for Shabbat and Yom Tov. He also has to get him jewelry, which is an extra expense and not so important. And they're not so important. Jewelry isn't so important, says the Beis Halevi. And only rich people really wear them. And even if the father's angry, he'll still do what he has to do. But we have to distinguish. Whether he is doing what he's doing out of pure love for his son, or because it's his son. Either because he loves his son and he wants to do as much as is possible for his son, or because, no, or you leave. Mamish, second time today. Not to you, but put the phones away. It's managed without the phones. Got to get in control of this, okay? Away, just put them away. I don't want to see them anywhere. Mamish, get away. It's just so superfluous. So even if the father is angry with the son, he'll still do what he has to do. We have to make a distinction. Does he give to his son because he loves his son, he's out of control with his son? Or does he give to his son because he's his son and that's his duty to give to his son? And that you can tell by the order in which he does what he does. If the father is giving to his son out of love, and he just enjoys it because his son is happy, then he will do the things that aren't so important. He'll do first. He's out of love. I don't have to do it, so I'll just do what I don't have to do. Like not law of Marasha, or to buy a watch, shall Zahab, a golden watch for Chadom, because then Nikayo Tasha, Shunshi Mishtashe, but Taruga Makia Livno. Bahabagit, Habagadim, Amukrahim, the Bahim Eno Nika, Kokaha Shashu, Minikim Lachrona, Beta Hatuna. What does he say to Beta Levi? The father who loves his son, doing everything out of love, you buy the superfluous stuff immediately. You're just excited to make your son happy. The things you have to buy, you'll buy afterwards. But if you're doing it because you have to do it, then you do the things that you have to do. Those are the things that are most important. So it says the Beis Halevi, before Cheta Egel, the relationship, which changes immensely, the Luchot, a different Luchot, changes immensely after Cheta Egel. It isn't the same. There are so many different things in our history that we don't know. We're not educated enough to know how Bayit Rishon isn't the same as Bayit Sheni. People don't even know it. They don't even know there was no Aron in Bayit Sheni. There was no Nevuah in Bayit Sheni. It was a different baby Dutch, a totally different reality. So after the tablets are broken, even though we get Luchot Shnot, it's different. So the Beit HaLevi says, so before Cheta Egel, when God and Am Yisrael are on this different Madrega whatsoever, so then God speaks about the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is not the most important thing, because we can live without a Mishkan. We live without a Mishkan. We've lived 2,000 years without a Mishkan. We can't live without Shabbat. What did the Chadam say? More than the Jews have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jews. Chadam said that. More than Jews have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jews. So when it comes to Pasha Vayakel, that's after Chet HaEgel. So it's after Chet HaEgel. So Shabbat is first, because that's the relationship. It's a different relationship. Before Chet HaEgel, it's the idyllic relationship. So then Mishkan comes before Shabbat. That's the Beit HaEgel. I have to go to Rav Heschel, so I can't help myself. We'll come back to the Meshech HaKhum when we have time. This Rav Heschel is brilliant. Brilliant, relevant, and it should go through you from here and stay in your minds what he says here. He's talking about the notion of why Shabbat is Doche Mishkan. And if someone puts up their hand and say, but isn't Rav Heschel conservative? So you've got the Oznaim, the Torah underneath, who says exactly the same. If you don't like Rav Heschel, but I like Rav Heschel anyway. But have a look what he says when he's talking about Shabbat and the importance of Shabbat to a person in our time. The book that Heschel wrote on Shabbos is a brilliant book, and it should be read. It's a brilliant book, Heschel on Shabbat. He wrote two books on the Kolska Rebbe. Heschel was a direct descendant of the Abba Israel. Right? He has the same name, right? Rav Avraham Yisrael Heschel. Rav Avraham Yisrael is the Abba Israel. That's it. He's direct descendant. Okay. Kol civilizatio technit sheivata lenetzeach et hachalom. Every civilization, bear with me, this is worth it. Every civilization has an aspiration to fill up the world. Lishlo bichlal, to rule. Lahadil et mispah ha'atzamim ha'shayachim lanu ha'memalim et hachalom. To increase everything in the world. Laharbot et hayesh ha'tofes makom. To quantify, to make big, to expand what is in the world, laharbot, to increase, koach and shilton, power and control. Ve'yachad im zeh livroach mipnei hazman, rotsim anu laharbot et rechushenu, mafsidim anu behevyatenu. But together with that, when we run away from time, we increase our assets and we lose our existence. Compare and contrast the assets that we build, the buildings that we build, with the minutes and the hours of the world. These are the things of the time in the world. Hayahadut, Judaism, unyenet yotel bezman. Judaism is more interested in time, than halal, than filling up the world. Hamila kadosh, the word kadosh, echad mehamusagim hachashuvim biyoter b'Torah. The word kadosh, which is one of the most important ideas in the Torah. Hamiatzkim et sodo v'hodo shel Elokim, that reflects the greatness of God. Mofia rishona b'sof maaseh bereishit. It's mentioned for the first time. It's mentioned for the first time in Bereshit. Ve'lo hitchachasa lo lahar, and it's not talking about a mountain. Ve'lo lemizbeach, and not a mizbeach. Ve'lo l'shum etzem min ha'asamim shenivra'u. Not to any singular thing. Kadosh is mentioned. Lo nikva shum makom min ha'makomot liyom kadosh. Nowhere on earth is identified to being holy during creation. Elama ne'emar sham, what's written there? Ve'yivarech Elohim et yom ha'shvi'i v'kadesh oto. God created the seventh day, a day, not a place. And he sanctified it. Ruchoka hi tefisa zo mikol ha-mitologiot she'arei b'chol otan emunot v'deyot ayu mesamim ma'aseh apriya kegolot koteret b'kviyat makom kadosh. Everywhere else they finish with a climax of a holy place. Har, a mountain, ba'ayan, it could be a fountain, eitz, it could be a tree, or gai, a valley. V'ilu toratenu lo kitchai tamakom. But Judaism doesn't identify a place as being holy. Kimit hazman, time is holy. HaShabbat is holy. Bevriyat ha'olam rak kedusha achad nikva. And the creation of the world is only one holiness, and that's time. V'hi kedushat hayom, the holiness of a day, not a place, a day. V'la'achaz man. After a while, לפני שניתנה תורה לעם הנבחר, נדרש מעם זו להיות ממלכת כהנים וגוי קדוש. After that, before the hate, we are told to be an עם קדוש. Holy time, holy people. ורק לאחר, and only after שנכשל העם, only after we have failed, ודרש אלוהים אשר ירום בעיני בשר ונדמו בעגל, when we look for a tangible God and we made an עגל, אז ניתן להם לבד ילכו אחרי התוהו, and in order that we don't go after the wrong things, then we're given מקום קדוש. So if you have זמן קדוש and you have מקום קדוש, what's more important? Shabbat. Shabbat is Dolche Mishkan. Brilliant. It's brilliant. Shabbat is Dolche Mishkan because man, ladies, time is more important than anything else because we don't have it. We don't have time. We don't have time. It's just disappearing. If you ask Miriam's father, he can tell you like I can tell you before you know it. These days will pass like you've never known them before. Every day is like a year. Every day is like a year. And then suddenly, theoretically, you're in your 50s. You don't know how you got there. You don't know how it happened, when it happened. Zman. Zman is dochah everything. There is nothing holier than time. And there is no greater sin than wasting time. Not to God, but to ourselves. There's no greater transgression than we can do in our lives than wasting. Than waste precious time that we have. And have a look, if you don't want to rely on Rav Heschel, have a look at the Ozaim Torah. The Lutzka Rav. כל הפרשה מדברת בבניין המשכן, ולמה הקדים כאן להזהיר על השבת, so why is Shabbat mentioned? ונראה לי על פי מה שהזכרנו במקום אחר, שהשבת והמשכן מטרה אחת להם. שבת המשכן, they have a common objective, לקדש את בני ישראל, להשיב את ליבם אל אביהם, to make עם ישראל holy, and to return them to God, שבשמיים. על ידי שפע קדושה ותורה, אלא שהשבת היא קדושת הזמן, זה זו זלם מטרה, ושבת is a holiness of time, that's what Shabbat is. You think about it now, ladies, when you can think, you think about it now, but what is the point of sleeping through a Shabbos? Like, that's it? The day is a celebration of time, so I'm going to sleep through it? That's how I celebrate time, by sleeping? That's what I do? שבו אנו שוכחים עולם ומלואו ועוסקים בתורה ומצוות ומקדשים את נשמותיהם בקדושת הזמן, לעומת זאת, המשכן מעמיד על שם קדושת המקום, משכן זה ה-holiness of a place, שהחוטא שנפגמה נשמתו בעל הקודש ומקדשה ומטהרה. So a person who sins come to the Kodesh to purify themselves. וגם פעמים בשנה מחויב כל זכורך לראות את פני השם במקום קדוש. Three times a year we have to come here and we have to see God. קדושת הזמן קדמה לקדושת המקום, but the holiness of time is more important than the holiness of a place. I've no doubt, MTA, that you're thinking, my God, every day here is a year. Like every day is a year. You've been here for 3 weeks. You think you're 85 already. When is this? And you ask them. They're almost out of here. They don't even know it. They're almost out of here, these girls. They've got about 6 weeks left. Yes. Yeah. 6 weeks of learning. Maybe 7. Now, I'm telling you, so you are awake, I'm telling you that they felt exactly the same as you did when they were here in the first month, and suddenly we're at Purim, and then we're at Pesach, then we're at Shavuot, and then we're at Simchat Torah, that's it, and where's it gone? The fourth lesson to cry over it, the fourth lesson to use it and to understand it. And you think every day, my, it's the same length of day. Kedushat HaZman Kadma LeKedushat HaMakom, the Kedusha of time. Ladies, this is so important. Listen to this. Even if you don't like listening to me, listen to this. Kedushat HaZman, ladies, time. They say in the non-Jewish world, time is money. What a lot of nonsense. Money comes, money goes. Time just goes. Time just disappears. Just goes. It's Gabby's birthday today. It's my son's birthday. My son's 29. I've got a son who's 29 years old. How can that be? I'm 25. How can that be? A 29-year-old son. He's not my oldest. He's not my oldest son. So God comes and says, you've got to build a holy place. You might think, oh, I've got a holy place, that's instead. No, it can't be instead. Time is much more important than a place. And to prove that, ladies, when Shabbat is doch everything. We've had Shabbat, all of our years we've had Shabbat. Shabbat never gets pushed aside. Because this inyan of understanding about the importance of time, there is nothing more important than this. That is one theme. I have another theme that's been in my mind all week. And I don't know exactly how to put it together. I have a few sources here. But I'll try without making an absolute comparison. Because when you learn Torah, the point of learning Torah is that it has some kind of relevance to you and to what's happening to you. In Kitisa, Moshe does something in this week's parsha in Vayakel that he's never done before, and he's not going to do again. He gathers all the people together. It's not written by any other mitzvah in all of Torah called Vayakel Moshe. Why? And a lot's been written on that, and I've done shikuli on that before as well. My point here was time, because we'd be aware, but another point. In Parshat Ki Tisa last week, again, according to the Rambam that we're going in order, after Moshe came down from Har Sinai and he found what he found, he made a statement, who's with me? And the Levim went to Moshe's side. If you were in Shul for Kriyat HaTorah last week, you would have noticed that Rishon HaSheni is very, very long, almost 60% of the Parsha. Because, why? Because we want to read Chet HaEgel by Levi, because they weren't involved. Okay, everything has a reason. And once you finish Levi, you finish the parsha in like 10 minutes. It's even though it's very big, rather bigger stuff there, but it's so Moshe says to people, who's with me? And then another Shaila, if you were dealing with the parsha last week, there is a civil war. There's a war that takes place, and Jews kill Jews, and 3,000 Jews are killed. Why is it a question? Because Chet HaEgel is always affiliated to all of us, but only 3,000 people were killed. Not only, but 3,000 people. If you say, I'm sure it's about 3 million, I'll do it another time. It's about 1% of the Jewish people. That's not the biggest tragedy. Like Chet Meraglim was the whole people. Right? But we got Shiva Saba Tamuz from Chet HaEgel forever, or until Mashiach comes. And there was a fight here, and 3,000 people were killed. What happens after 3,000 people are killed? Imagine you're there. I saw you at Chet HaEgel, as opposed to I saw you at Sinai. I saw you at Chet HaEgel. So what is the atmosphere after that happens? So I want to give you an example, without politics, just an example that happened here a long time ago. About 20 years ago, the Likud government decided that they were going to take settlers out of Gush Katif. And they evacuated, or threw out, depending what your politics are, 8,000 people from their homes, which Hamas then turned into missile bases and so on and so forth. There was a very big tumult here in the country, certainly in our community, in the Dati Zioni community. And soldiers were very upset, and there was a call for soldiers to not follow orders. The Yom HaTzmut after that, this happened in Tisha B'Av, right? The Yom HaTzmut after that, which is almost a year, 8 months after that, there was a young soldier whose family was from Gush Katif, and he was offered the award of Chayal Mitzdayen, an excellent soldier. And that, there's a list of them, and they come up to the president and the chief of staff on Yom HaTzmaut, and they get a special gift or whatever. It's a real tekes. And one of the soldiers' family had been thrown out of their homes, and he refused to shake the hand of the chief of staff because the chief of staff had been in charge of the evacuating of his family from their home. And in the press in Israel, there was this incredible noise, and something clicked in me, and I understood that they thought that as soon as the evacuation took place, it was finished, it's done, it's over. And what they didn't realize was nothing's over if people still have a problem with it. It's not over unless you deal with it. And they were shot because the soldier was still upset about it. They threw him out of his house. But they'd moved on to other things, right? It wasn't their home. They hadn't been deported. They hadn't been had their home smashed down. So they'd moved on to other things. But this soldier was still there. And he was still upset about it. And the press didn't understand. Now, come back to this parsha. You can't just carry on after Ki Tisa. You can't just carry on. You can't do that in life. When big things happen, you can't just carry on. They need to be understood. They need to be digested. They need to be spoken about. So what does Moshe do? He does Vayakel. He gets the people together. It fits in perfectly with the Rambam. The Moshe Vayakel, he brings the people together. You cannot simply go back. Things don't just pass. They don't pass. You might get used to them when they're happening, but they don't pass. And then I was developing this thought. I don't really know what to do with it because there are certain ideas here that are parallel and certain ideas here that are chas v'shalom not parallel. But we had our Ki Tisa in October here. It wasn't due to sin, but we had a terrible event here. We had a terrible event here, a shocking event, even for those of us who've experienced a lot of shocking things in our country over the last 34 years from our enemies. And what is the response to Ki Tisa, to Shvirat HaLuchot, to things happening that you didn't think would happen, that were unimaginable? And the Tzav HaShaah, the word of the day, is Vayakhem, is that people have to come together. People have to come together. Not to fight them. We have to come together because without it, we cannot carry on. Because there's too much. Too much has happened. Too much has been said. There has to be a Vayakhem after Ki Tisa. There has to be. It's Tzav HaShaah. There are so many issues. One of my main objectives, once people came back and we got into a certain routine, was to try and give you as routine a year as we possibly could. At some stage, I realized it's too routine. And to find the balance between the soldiers dying every day, good people, not animals, good people, decent people who could be our children, good people, and they're still dying, it's not finished. And you're trying to balance between routine and not forgetting what's going on. And you and I know, because most of you have been here throughout, if you weren't reading the news, you weren't listening to the radio, and you lived in Jerusalem, you wouldn't even know there's a war here. That's these are lies, right? You wouldn't even know. Unless you have a sibling in the army, or you wouldn't know. You'd have no idea. You just get on and do your thing. And there's something very, very important about that. Mitzvot Sheni, if you're watching the news, you understand that some of the issues that existed in October are creeping back. The rhetoric is creeping back as if we haven't moved. Now, on the one hand, this is what I told my family on Shabbat. On the one hand, I believe in gut reactions. I believe that when you're trying to define a person, you're trying to understand a person, you understand them best by their immediate reaction, before they have time to think about things and manipulate their minds. And you saw Am Yisrael on the 8th of October. That's real Am Yisrael. That's the real Am Yisrael on the 8th of October. You saw what people did there. If you didn't see it here, you saw it there. I saw it in America. I saw it here. But there's another Am Yisrael, this kind of angel that turns up every so often where we have to kill each other and fight each other. And after Ki Tisa, there has to be Vayakhel. That's a command to us as much as it is to anyone else. There has to be Vayakhel. We were sitting on Shabbos and thinking, so we're going to do Purim. So my wife said, well, let's go down south. Not down south. I said, oh, let's find a proper way that we can do it, because everyone's going to be doing that, right? But The whole point of Purim is about Lech Knoset Kol HaYudim, is bringing the Jews together. That was the problem, right? That's what Haman says. Amafuzah, Amafurad, we are a scattered people, we're always fighting. And Esther's answer is Lech Knoset Kol HaYudim, bring all the Jews together. So after Kitisa, there has to be Vayakim. So I speak about time, and I pray, ladies, it's not something I can teach you. It's something you have to understand yourselves. If you don't understand it, you face the danger of wasting your life. If you don't understand it, you face it. I'm obsessed with it. You don't need to be as obsessed, but you face the danger of really waking up one day and realizing you haven't done anything. So there's Zman, and there's this idea of Vayakhel, of coming together. And I have a third idea that I just want to share with you here. You have Trumat and Sabbath there, Vayakhel Pikudei. So there's another question here. Even though it seems like an easy parasha, right? There's another shaila you could ask on this parasha. Why do we have to read it all again? It could just say, Beken Asu. Two words, Vayakhel. Two words, Beken Asu. And this is what they did. This is what they did, Beken Asu. God commanded us Trumat and Tzaveh, and the Kain Asu, and then they did it. So why do we have to go through the whole thing again? V'yakel Pikudei, even it's in a shul, V'yakel Pikudei, and this year it's easy, it's a leap year, so it's only V'yakel. It's V'yakel and Shkali, right? But sometimes on Yitzchak, his birthday, it was V'yakel Pikudei Achodesh. That's like Yom Kippur in shul, right? V'yakel Pikudei Achodesh. That's a long double parsha with Achodesh, right? So. Why? Why again? So lots of different answers. I was driving in today. I bet I'm hotter than all of you, so let's manage it. Let's imagine we're in Poland in the heat in 1920 and they don't have air conditioners, and we can manage. We will not dehydrate. We can manage. We don't have to be so mafunakir. I'm hotter. I promise you, I'm hotter. I got a sweater on. So, or a jumper, whatever you wish. Truma to Sarah the Yakel Pikudin. Truma Tesara Vayake Pikudei. What do we have? Truma Tesara, I told you at the beginning, is the commandment. Vayake Pikudei is the Bitsua. What does Bitsua mean? Come on. Bitsua? To do it, the action, the realization. What is important here? So let me tell you another story. I came on Aliyah. Skip a year or two, I started doing smicha the Rabbanut HaRashit the Israel. I started doing smicha for the Rabbanut HaRashit. Four exams, it's changed since then, four exams, each exam is 6 hours plus in Hebrew. In Hebrew. Big challenge, probably the biggest challenge of my life to that stage. And they even offered me, they were very nice, they said, you know what, the first exam you can write and we'll give you a faher, we'll give you an oral exam, or we'll give you the best grade of the two. So I had a faher with Diane Lior on Nida Mikvavs, the big Talmid Chacham. And I sat down at the first time, I'm just a kid from Edgware, and I sat down, a different Edgware to Edgware that English people might know, and I sat down and I'm looking around the room. And everyone around the room is like, or a Haredi, or serious yeshivot hesder people, and there's me. And I suddenly found this for someone who's always looking to build their confidence. Wow, that's incredible. I'm in the room with these people doing a test on smicha. So I did my first exam, Baruch Hashem, Nida Mikvas. The second exam was Isur Beheta. The third exam was Avelus. The fourth exam was Shabbat Mikvaot. The year Yitzchak was born, actually a leap year of Shabbat Mikvaot. That's all of Chelek Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah off by heart, with all the Gemaras, all the Rishonim, all the Achronim. It's a lot of Chomer. A lot of Chomer. And something peculiar happened to me. I sat down at the table to do the test. I turned over the page. I went over the questions that I was told we have to do. I read the questions carefully, and I realized I can pass this exam. I realized I knew all the answers. I realized that I can pass the exam. You know what happened after that? For 2 minutes. For 2 minutes, I thought, I haven't got the cheshit to write it. You know, I know I can do it now, right? I've proven something to myself. I passed all the other exams. I can pass this potentially. I kind of, for 2 minutes, I kind of lost the cheshit. I can't be bothered now to write. I know I can do it. I can get up and walk out. And after those 2 minutes, I had another thought. Listen, David, if you don't walk out, you'll never get your qualification. you never become a rab. So you sit down and write. I got my highest grade in that exam, but I sat down and wrote for more than 6 hours. And then something occurred to me, which I think is an answer to what I just posed as a question. One of the most worst critiques you can get from a teacher for your children, please God, is that they have potential. Because normally when a teacher says your children have potential, it means that they're not doing anything. They can, but they're not. They're wasting their time. They have potential. It's a nicer thing a teacher can say, right? If they want to, they can. It's a killer in a reference form to the Midrashah. When they want to do something, they can. You're dead. Like, you're dead, you know, finished. And when they want to do something, okay, we don't want people like that when they want to do, because they never want to do, so they won't do anything, right? So when, it's like a Tanai Gadva Ruvain, when they want to do something, right? When they don't, they won't. It's a killer statement for a teacher. They have potential. We all have potential. But if you don't turn Truma Tetzava into Viyakel Pikude, you haven't done anything. The world is full of people who could have been and could have done. I could have been a doctor. I could have been a millionaire. I could have bought this. I could have bought that. And I could have. It's just Nebuch language. Who cares about what you could have done? The question is about what did you do? And it's worth the Torah doubling up the psukim for. This is what you were told to do, but more than that, they did it, and they did every single thing. They realized every single point. They fulfilled potential. It's not about what I'm talking about a few weeks ago when I said failed potential, reaching. So I'm talking about here, you have a potential and you're not realizing the potential. You're not doing it. Truma Tetzava is the idea. It's a great idea. But without the Viyakel Pikudin, there's no Mishkan. Nukulda, there's no Mishkan. Ladies, without our heroes in 1948, you wouldn't be sitting here and I wouldn't be sitting here. Without the paratroopers of 1967, we won't be able to live in this city. People did something. Our children, some of your brothers, walked into Gaza to defend. They did something. And speak about it. They got marches and wave flags. They did something. They put on a uniform and took guns and they did something. What did Churchill say? No more joy, joy. It's time for war. There's a time when a person has to do. It's not enough to speak. It's not enough to air ideas. Someone has to do them. And when the ideas first came out in 1897, if you've ever read Der Judenstein of Herzl, in 1897, Herzl writes in Der Judenstein, a very boring piece of work. You think the man was crazy. He's talking about a state in Israel in 50 years' time. And would you believe it, 50 years later to the day there was a state? Did it happen like this because people sat around talking? No, it happened by people getting malaria, by emptying swamps. That's how it happened. It happened by people fighting. You're seeing it with your own eyes. A dream can't be a dream just because you talk about it. It can only be a dream if you do it. And if you're not prepared to do it, so what are you prepared to do? And it's not just true of a nation, it's true of us as individuals. You look at the successful people in the world, the people who just got hold of the jugular and they got the bit between the teeth and they did it. They didn't sleep every time they were tired. They just did it. Truma Tetzava needs Viyakel Pikudin. You have to be Mevatseya. You have to do it. You can have the plans, but you have to do it. And sometimes you need incredible courage to do things. You have to stick your head out to go and do something. And not everyone else is doing it. And some people, oh, we're just going to watch a movie. We're going to take out a movie. Oh, it's ridiculous. Ladies, I like movies as well. I watch Shingla. I've seen movies, Escape from Sobibor, The Pianist. I've seen movies. You tell me, ladies. I'll ask you this question. I've asked you before, but make me listen now. You wanna watch a movie? You wanna be in a movie? You wanna be the one they make a movie about? For good reasons. For good reasons. You wanna be the one that the people are looking to? So they're making a movie about you because you did and you did and you did and you came from nothing. A Rami Levy who couldn't read or write, and started off with a store in Machane Yehuda, and now he has, I don't know how many stores in this country, as well as cell phones and his own agriculture. Yeah, the man couldn't read and write. My son saw him in the airport about half a year ago with a Nokia phone. He's not a Haredi, with a Nokia phone sitting in economy. Rami Levy rules his country in supermarkets. Mamish, the man couldn't read or write. They make a film about that man. And you make a film about someone who watches movies all day? It's a pretty more boring film. We have a lot of sequels, like movie one, movie two, movie three, movie four. We have three massively important kalalim here. And they're all connected. The essence of time, Shabbat, is Doche Mishka. Shabbat, ladies, is Doche everything. I was speaking in South Africa a few years ago. Oh, and South Africans remember that it was a Tisha B'Av, not the last one, it was a few years before. And Shabbat fell, Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbat. So what happens when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat? What happens? You move it. Now, Tisha B'Av is about, according to the Christians, it's the end of our brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because God threw us out. They're wrong about so many things, but that as well. God threw us out. But Shabbat's Docha Tisha B'Av. A Brit, Shabbat is a Brit, Beni. Ot hi le'olam, it's Docha Tisha B'Av. You can have a Chorban, but it's Docha. Shabbat is Docha. Shabbat overrides everything. Time. Ladies, I don't mind how time. I could stand here now for another 3 hours just saying, time, until you just fall asleep. Time, you have to. I never tell you have to, except for a few things regarding where you live and also regarding time. You have to know, you have to look at your watch, not to see whether you got a message, but look at your watch to see how you're using your time. Number one, time. Number two, was the second theme, we have to have a vayakel after kitisa. It's not the same, chalila. But we've had a kitisa, we've had a terrible thing. It's terrible. And it's not finished, right? Almost 150 days now. People are in captivity. It's not finished. And there needs to be a vayakel. I think, you know, that's what my Pesach break is going to be about. I don't know, maybe I'll just spend the month in Tel Aviv. We'll do a kikar chatav. I haven't been there yet. And the third thing is you have to know. Now, you don't have to, but if you don't, I don't know, I think you lose. You have to know to achieve. You have to be hungry to achieve. You have to be hungry levatzer, not just to talk about ideas, but to do them. And then be proud of what you've done. And then move on and do more. But if you remain in Truma Tetzave, there's no Mishkan. Truma Tetzave leads to Vayakel Pikudei. But I think the Mashal, which is absolute 100% true what happened to me in that exam, 100% true. I remember it to this day. Almost like it's tangible feeling. I've proven to myself I can do it. I don't need to write the exam. I remember the feeling. And I remember like almost forcing my hand to write. Just write. Don't be stupid. Write the exam. Because if you don't write the exam, you won't pass. And you've got to write the exam. It's not about potential. If our life remains potential, it remains a tragedy. It has to be realized. We have to move from Truma Tetzave to Vayakel Pikudei. Okay. I did as much time as I was allocated.